The answer past penetrating and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with my soul. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. So today I'm going to talk about creating merit. We talk about offering merit, but we don't always talk about creating merit. And as we do our daily practice as Buddhists, we are actually constantly creating merit. And of course, it's not just Buddhists who create merit. Everybody creates merit just by doing what they do. Somebody who's trying to do a good job creates merit. Someone who's practicing kindness creates merit. Anyone who turns to the good in whatever way is creating merit. And we don't think about it too much. It's better not to think about it too much, because we don't do good or help beings in order to create merit or to get merit. We do it because it's good to do. We help somebody because it's good, not because we'll get something, ideally. But now and then it's encouraging to consider that actually there is merit in what we do, and that it helps us and other beings. And it's not our merit, it's just merit that comes through us, that comes to us, and we pass it on. We create merit, we give it away. And then by our giving it away, there's more merit. And here's Nagarjuna, our bodhisattva that we celebrate today. In his litany of the bodhisattvic deeds, he's this great scholar, philosopher, monk, saint, one of the greatest ancestors in our lineage. He wrote this huge compendium of work on great wisdom. The great wisdom sutras, scriptures, are attributed to Nagarjuna, I think. Or at least many of them are. And yet, he has this also this simple side, which is something I must confess that I find easier to relate to than the philosophical side, because I like simple. I can practice simple. And then one of the great things about Nagarjuna is that he could actually explain things in simple terms that I can understand and practice. And he talks about offering merit, creating merit and offering merit. And in his litany that we recited today, the first thing it is, he says, I take refuge in the Buddha, Dharma and Sangha, in the three treasures. And that's the very first thing we do when we become Buddhists. This is the first thing he talks about. And this is the way of creating merit. Just that, simply taking refuge in the three treasures. And there's all kinds of other things in there too. There's Samantabhadra's vows, there's the four immeasurable divine abodes, I think the divine abodes. There is the six paramitas. And I thought I'd talk a little bit about the six paramitas and how they create merit. Paramita is that which helps beings, including ourselves, to cross over to the other shore, to cross over from this world of suffering to Nirvana, which is the same actually, but that's, you know, another story. And they cover almost all the aspects of our Buddhist training, one way and another. Giving, precepts, patience, effort, meditation, wisdom. Just about everything in our practice comes under those. So, giving, generosity. This creates merit. And the fact that giving creates merit is the basis of dana, as we talk about. When we give something to somebody else, there is merit. We receive merit. And both the giver and the recipient receive merit, kind of back and forth. It's not a one-way thing. We give something to somebody, we receive something, we receive joy of having given something to somebody, or their gratitude, whether they're grateful or not. And ideally, we don't give because we want gratitude or because we want something from them. We just give because it's good to give. with both hands and an open heart, no strings attached. And that's the best kind of giving, is just without expectation, just to give. Then if somebody is grateful, well, it's nice, but we don't expect it. That's the best way of giving. And this creates merit, both for us and for them. And there's all kinds of stories in the scriptures about the benefits of giving. The child who gives a handful of sand to the Buddha, because that's what he has. And later he's born as a great king, just because of that simple act of this generosity, impulsively giving a handful of sand to the Buddha. And little children are like that. They will just give what they have in their hand to somebody. Very pure. And the Buddha, he'd go on alms round to places that had a famine. And people would say, why are you going on alms round to these places where people are starving? And he would say, because it gives them the opportunity to gain merit and thereby turn around that karma that brought about the famine. It actually helps them to give, even when they have very, very little. It's not just taking from someone who doesn't have anything. It's actually giving to them. And of course, there's all the other kinds of generosity, giving of our time, our kindness, our kind thoughts of another person, our generous heart, rather than thinking crabby little thoughts about self-interest or whatever. Just our generous thought, generous heart. And only as we practice generosity, we feel joyful, we feel happy because we've given something to someone. This is the immediate merit, the immediate gain. And then later, you know, we have maybe have a good relationship with that person, or we see them doing better, or there's some kind of benefit. And then who knows what benefit there is in later times because of some little act of generosity, like the child with his handful of sand. He would not know that he would end up being a great king because he made this little generous offering to a Buddha. We have no idea how far-reaching the benefits of our giving, of whatever it may be, to each other are. Huge. We do not know. As I said, seeing the good intention of somebody, seeing their pure heart, that's generosity. That is giving. Because then people can respond to that. And if we're suspicious of somebody, they're much more likely to act on that suspicion or to, you know, be suspicious of us. But if we trust people without being completely foolish, then people respond to that. Just this generosity of giving and receiving in all these different ways. So there's some of the merits of giving, which is the easiest of the paramitas to practice. Any of us can give. And there's precepts. Keeping to the precepts is an enormous, meritorious thing to do. And again, we just do it. We don't keep to the precepts because we're getting merit. We do it because it's good. And as it happens, it helps us, helps other beings, lessens suffering for all of us, as we know. And we don't tend to think of keeping to the precepts as a way of creating merit, but it does. It's enormously helpful. There's a story that I love, and I'm sure I've mentioned it before, about this monk who is in some little village, and he's keeping to the precepts, that's his practice. And there's this dragon terrorizing the neighborhood. This is the place where they had dragons, I'm sure they had them all the time. And there's a particularly troublesome dragon, frightening people, destroying the crops, all kinds of stuff. And the villagers would invite all these great people with spiritual, you know, supernatural powers to come and subdue this dragon. And they all failed hopelessly. Finally, they ask this one monk, who's just doing his practice, keeping to the precepts. He comes, tames the dragon right off. And they said, how did you do that? He said, I just keep the precepts, you know. He wasn't thinking of being some great being with supernatural powers. He just kept to the precepts. And we don't keep to the precepts to gain supernatural powers. It can be a bit of a problem. Better just to keep to the precepts, do our best, and let merit just manifest. Then we give it away. Now, keeping to the precepts isn't always easy, as we know. Sometimes we seem to keep failing. Maybe there's a precept we have a really difficult time with, like speaking against others or anger. And we keep resolving to do our best, and we keep falling again. You know, I'm going to really work on my temper, and then bang, you know, we blurt something out at somebody. But our attempt to keep to these precepts, especially the hard ones, creates merit. Even though we fail, even though we are not perfect, even though sometimes we feel just terrible about it, there is always merit in our very trying to do it. Someone who tries to give up drinking, just that attempt to recognize a problem, do something about it, even if they go back to it, there's merit in that attempt. In just that recognizing the weakness and trying to do something about it. All these things, trying to deal with our difficulties, overcome our weaknesses, no matter how often we may seemingly fail, just that trying creates great merit. People may not notice us bite back our temper or restrain ourselves from saying something snippy about somebody. And we may not even think there's merit in that. I didn't spit it out, I just kept it to myself, you know. But there's merit that nobody may see, including us. And that merit is there, and it grows by our practice of keeping to the precepts, especially the ones we find hard. The ones we don't have that much trouble with, it's a different matter. And yet, you never know, maybe I'm not doing as well as I think. But the ones we really know we have a problem with, that we keep working on them, keep trying, keep doing our best, there is great merit in that. No matter what it looks like, if you look back, we can see it's better than it used to be. You know, I'm not as crabby as I used to be. I don't laugh at other people's expense as much as I used to, and so on. All these things, there's merit, and that merit accrues, and we give it away. It's our intention. Our intention is to keep to the precepts. And that intention that we keep turning towards and keep trying to keep to, creates merit. Just that wish. Patience. To bear that which is hard to bear. To do that which is hard to do. To keep going and accept the difficulties of life with patience creates merit. And again, we may not think in those terms, but the merit is actually immediate and palpable. If we have great pain or an illness or a really difficult situation, when we do our best to practice patience and accept it, the suffering is greatly lessened immediately. This is merit. And even if a situation goes on a really long time, some illness we have, some pain, some difficult relationship or something like that, just to keep on practicing patience with it, kindness, and not getting angry or resentful about it or letting that go when it arises. Just doing our best to accept that which is hard, difficult to accept. Just keeping doing that, practicing patience. Patience with people who annoy us. Patience with ourselves when we annoy ourselves. Patience with others, kindness and compassion, over and over and over again, to practice these things. Great merit there. Immediate and long term. Patience with ourselves, again, with our failings, our shortcomings, our mistakes. Kindness and compassion to ourselves also, over and over and over again. There's great merit there that we are patient with ourselves and our own difficulties, our own weaknesses. There's merit. And we don't even notice it because we're so busy struggling with the situation. We don't think, I'm creating merit with this. We're just trying to survive, you know. and trying to be kind and trying to help the situation. But there's merit, lots of it. Effort. To do our best. Just to keep doing the best we can in the situation we're in. Trying to do a good job, you know, no matter who we are, what we're doing. Doing a good job, people respect you. You tend to succeed, not always, you know. But the merit of that can be immediate and practical, and it can it's also the greater merit is the long-term doing that which is good to do. Doing an honest job, giving our best, helping beings. I heard a story the other day about somebody had ran a bakery, and she tried to use good ingredients, charge as little as she could, as she could to get by, and as a result of that, when she sold her bakery, she had this extra $50,000 of good faith for that. She didn't do that, she didn't use her good ingredients and all that to get $50,000. She did it because it was good. She wanted to do a good job, to give a good product and not charge too much. And as a result of that, she had this good faith when she sold her business. This is a very practical, mundane, immediate, meritorious result. And there's also the much subtler and much more valuable result that we know we've done our best. We've tried to do our best to do something that's good, to help beings, to just be honorable and generous and so forth. To keep going, no matter what happens, is part of effort. And sometimes it doesn't seem too hard. We're doing okay, our training seems to be going well, we feel vigorous, you know, faith and all that. Sometimes it feels awful. And it's all we can do to draw the next breath. Sometimes we feel really confused. Just don't know what's going on. Or we have to make a decision. We don't know how to do it. We don't know where to turn. We don't know what to do next. And to keep going in those times, just to do the next thing, we don't have to have everything figured out. All we have to do is do the next thing with a willing and mindful heart. Whether it's just getting up in the morning, driving to work, talking to this person, doing this next thing, doing the ceremony we're doing our meditation practice, whatever it may be, washing the dishes. Here we are, we have all this stuff going through our mind. What should I do? How should I do it? What's going to happen? You know, maybe we're all worried. But just to make our best effort with that which is right in front of us right now is merit. And it really helps. The Driven Master Ji used to say, if all I can take is one step, you know, and you just take that one step out into the unknown, there's merit there. This is effort. To trust that where we put our foot, there'll be something to place it on. And if there's not, well, there we go. Things will be all right. In the end, it'll be okay, somehow. To keep on going, to make that effort in the dark, when it's hard, when you just don't feel like it, there's merit there, because it gets us through just taking that next breath. Sometimes it's all we can do. Just take it and with as mindful and willing a heart and bright-mindedness as we can. There's a lovely offertory for Venerable Sek Kim Seng, who's one of our Chinese ancestors who ordained Reverend Master Jiu. Part of it is, he did not try to explain the Dharma in fancy words. Instead, by just keeping the precepts and doing that which had to be done, he taught all around him. This is right effort, keeping to the precepts, doing that which has to be done, just doing the next thing, no matter what. This creates merit for ourselves, creates merit for others also, that we just do our best. Meditation, foundation of our practice. It has immediate benefits. It sometimes it feels awful, but we know, we all know, that the benefits of meditation, the immediate merit, is far-reaching and profound. And great Master Dogen talks about this all the time, constantly going on about meditation. In the Bendawa, is one of the, I think it's the first chapter in the Shobo Genzo, his great huge work. In his very first chapter, there's a whole paean of joy about meditation practice. And he says, even the meditating of just one person at one time, that's us, harmonizes with and is at one with all forms of being as it tranquilly permeates all times. Even if all the Buddhas, who are as immeasurable as the sands of the Ganges, were to exercise their spiritual strengths and attempt to gauge the meditation of a single person by means of their awakened Buddha wisdom, they would be unable to reach its boundaries, try as they might to fathom them. So meditation is huge. Even our meditation, a single person at one time, it doesn't mean just those sages out there who are doing the real meditation and not us who are doing a sort of pretend meditation. It's us and our meditation, because our meditation is real meditation, no matter what it feels like. Sometimes we feel like, well, everybody else is sitting still, my meditation is just terrible. I think many of us feel this way, that our meditation isn't terribly good. But it still works. It's amazing how our distracted efforts, our moment of mindfulness in a sea of distraction, has great benefits, doesn't it? I mean, look at how it was before you began. It's a huge difference. And this is merit. It's profound, it's far-reaching, it's far greater than we can imagine. We don't know how it works just as well, because then we might try to fix it. But we only know that it works. It has a profound effect. No matter how deeply we meditate or how poorly we think we do it, it has this huge effect, not just on us, but on all beings. The meditation of a single person at one time permeates all places and all times, past, present, and future. That's quite a thought, isn't it? That's us. So, and the Buddha says, in the scripture of the Buddha's last teaching, this is the last thing he's saying before he dies. When you achieve meditation, your heart is not in turmoil or your mind scattered. Just as a household that would be frugal with water arranges dikes and pond banks carefully, so a trainee does likewise. Therefore, for the sake of the water of discriminate wisdom, practice meditation well, that you may prevent the loss of that water through leaks caused by the defiling passions. This is what I call doing meditation. Because we may immediately think, achieving meditation, I can't achieve meditation. But again, just a moment of mindfulness, just our attempt, our sitting down in our meditation place, there's merit there. And that helps us to practice that discriminate wisdom and stop our mindfulness and merit sort of seeping away. It's always accruing. Wisdom, the last of the paramitas. And it's the last because wisdom tends to come when we practice all the others. We practice the simpler ones like giving and patience and effort and faith and precepts and so forth. And of course, we all want wisdom. Many of us come to training because we want wisdom. Never mind all the other stuff. Wisdom. But of course, it doesn't work that way. First, we practice giving. We practice kindness. We practice patience. We practice the precepts. And then we practice wisdom. And of course, practicing patience, meditation, these things, is itself the practice of wisdom. Practicing generosity is the practice of wisdom. It's not a separate thing. And the benefits of all those other paramitas, the merit, increases our wisdom. And our wisdom helps us to practice all the others. They all work together, merit pouring back and forth. and we practice wisdom. It's not something we've got or something that falls on us. It's something we practice, and it's not our wisdom. It's just wisdom. It flows through us, and we receive it, we practice it, we give it out. We don't even think about, I'm going to practice wisdom now. We just try and do the best we can. And wisdom naturally flows through us because it's not ours. Nothing is ours, wisdom particularly. It's the result of merit, and it creates merit. The quiet joy that comes with training, sometimes we feel it, sometimes we don't. That's merit. It's the result of merit, and it creates merit. Other beings feel that quiet joy, and they respond to it. And sometimes we just feel terrible, and we just do our best. Sometimes we can just, as I said, draw the next breath if we're lucky. Just keep going. Practice faith. Because there's something underneath all the ups and downs that knows to keep going, to keep making that effort. All our paramitas work together. And in all these ways, and in many other ways, we create merit. We don't practice the paramitas to gain merit, as I said. We just do them because it's good to do. They all work together. We practice them all because it's good. It's good to make offerings. It's good to keep to the precepts. It's good to be patient, kind, and so forth. And we give away the merit. Any merit that comes our way, we immediately offer it to somebody else. And more merit comes through. It's just the way training works. And we have no idea, as I said, how far-reaching the effects of our practice are, the effects of our generosity, of our keeping to the precepts, of our meditation and faith. The scriptures are full of references to the vast merit of all these simple little things that we can do. And yet, it's better not to think about them too much, not to think, I'm getting merit. So why do I give a Dharma talk about creating merit? Because sometimes we need a little encouragement. Sometimes we're really hard on ourselves. We see our failings, we see our mistakes, our not very good keeping of the precepts, our not very good meditation as we think. Sometimes it's helpful to be reminded that actually in our training there is great merit. The imperfect training that we see ourselves do, there is merit here. To keep doing it, to keep practicing, to keep a bright heart about it, and not to worry, just to keep on the way, doing the next thing, doing that which is good to do. Nothing special, simple, straightforward, washing the dishes, doing something kind for somebody, keeping to the precepts, patience, meditation, wisdom, all of these things. This is all our offering of merit and our creating of merit. And it's far greater than we think. Our pure intention to do the best we can, to remember that, to come back to that, and not to be too hard on ourselves while making our best effort. Keep on trying. Nagarjuna, his great offering of merit and his great wish that beings both create and receive merit. He says, part of his litany, one little thing, which I really noticed and liked. May those beings in all worlds who are distressed through fear become entirely fearless through merely hearing my name. You think, whoa, you know. Now this isn't because he thinks he's some great being. Just hearing my name, Nagarjuna, beings will be attained fearlessness. It's not some great self. It's just his wish that beings receive some merit from his training. Because he knows it's just the virtue of training, it's not him. This virtue of training is not ours, is not a personal possession. It's just something we do because it's good. Because we have Buddha nature, all beings have Buddha nature. Just that we keep doing it. It comes to us, it flows through us. We receive it, we pass it on. It's not ours, it's everybody's. Doing the best we can right now, no matter how simple, This is merit. We receive it, we pass it on, we create it, it is given to us, it is not ours. And that's it for today. Thank you.